Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful October 8th, 2017. I love October. It's one of my most favorite months in the whole year. It really is. I love Halloween and the whole getting caboodle of it all. Anyway, we're going to talk about what is happening. What is happening in our world, in our country? I'm not a political analyst, so this is coming purely from my spiritual thing here. I'm trying to help you realize that all of this is futile to worry about, but we'll get into that. Want to remind you, I know you don't like hearing this, some of you, but it is the truth, that these radio programs, my TV programs, and everything that you see on the Aspire website is supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible gift. Our sponsors make all this possible, and I am very grateful to our sponsors for everything they do to help me serve humankind in the way I do. So if you are enjoying these radio programs and you find them of value, interest, something that might be helping you, I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us. We're working right now on our year-end donations. It's now until, I think it's the 5th of January. Our mystery donor is matching all gifts right now. This is a very generous thing he does. I'm very grateful for his kindness, and I hope that you will help us and help me serve humankind by becoming a sponsor. He's matching all gifts right now. If you become a sponsor, let's say you do a monthly donation of $25, he will match that. If you prefer to make a one lump sum donation, whatever that would be, he will match it. So I'm very grateful for his kindness and his support over the many years, and I hope that you will support him and Aspire and help us keep this radio program, TV program, and all of the things I do going. Because like yesterday, I went to the hospital. It is an interesting experience. That's when the rubber meets the road and when people really, really need you. I hope that you will help. Okay? Join today. Go to the website at aspire.org and you will see support. If you click on that button, you will see a menu, a drop-down menu, and it will tell you all about Aspire, what we do, where your donations go. They are tax-deductible, and you will receive a receipt for your income tax. And for being a sponsor, oh, you get the message of the month and a slew of things that are there to serve you. And they're just exclusive to those who go the extra mile and help me. What is happening? Huh? Now, I am no political analyst. I don't even care about politics. But I get all sorts of emails from people all over telling me about politics and how can this happen in the form of human justice and all of that. And I don't write back on all of this because it would take up all of my time. But I just want to say this in starting out here. There's no such thing as human justice, okay? I just want you to get that clear. What overrides human justice is individual karma. So whatever is going on in my life, and don't be fooled by the experiences you're in. Like, let's say you have a cozy, comfortable little life. Don't think that, well, I must be doing something right. It isn't about that at all, and it doesn't work that way at all. So I don't want you to get involved in that kind of thinking. Many of you are. You assume that if things are going well on the outer, things must be going well on the inner. But what you have to understand is, as far as the outer's concerned, it doesn't take much for things to blow up in the outer. I have had lately in the last 3 or 4 years, students think that they were doing really well. They have, you know, comfortable, secure life as they thought of it. And bingo, there it is, a health challenge, a health condition. And it was unwarranted, they think, and unfair and all that other stuff. And they just don't get it. So don't be fooled by the matter of appearances. My first question comes from Ed. And let me see, where is he? Oklahoma City. Oh, this will be good for Paula. Greg, what's happening to our world and our country? Is it all falling apart? It seems to me that it will be chaos soon, Ed. Ed, you don't really maybe realize it right now, but we're in chaos right now. And if you can't tell, we're battling the elements. We're battling ourselves, which is the main issue, and we're battling each other and all sorts of things. It just cracks me up when there's some kind of flood damage or there's a hurricane or whatever. There are people who lay back in communities waiting for all this to happen so they can go looting. And I read about that and I went, holy goodness, God, it never ends. What is happening? I think, now I could be wrong, Ed, so forgive me on this one. I think you're alluding to the idea that just maybe God is doing this because he's pissed off at us. Well, that would not be true. And I don't want you to think things like that that aren't true, that there is no God in the sky who gets annoyed and PO'd at us and then decides, well, I'll just kill, you know, maybe 40, 50 people, give them a nice little jarring lesson here, and maybe they'll get it as time goes on. It just doesn't work like that. So please, please understand something. The things that happen in this world, the mounting tensions and the painful stupidities of humankind, they're all there. They are. And without knowing it, we have created all of this through what is called the collective unconscious. And that's what's happening. The more people that come on this planet, the more different types of human beings we have, the more difficult all this becomes, and we start living our life according to the manner of what is going on in the world and not what is going on in our hearts. So we take it for granted that the inner part of us is just hunky-dory. The issue, Ed, is the collective unconscious. We're participating in it. Now, you don't know what the collective unconscious is? Let me explain here a little bit, Lucy. The collective unconscious is the gathering of all of our basic thoughts and emotions and how we pair them with other people and pair them psychically, as it were, in this lifetime with other thoughts and emotions, and it becomes like a cloud of, well, this is the way it is kind of cloud. A cloud that says, here it is, this is it, this is what you've created. We are building a world in the image and likeness of ourself, and that's our cloud, and that's how we make this all happen. So, emotionally and psychologically speaking, I am sucking off of this cloud constantly. And as I suck off this cloud unconsciously and I allow it to come into my mind, it's Jesus called it the world. He said he overcame the world and that anyone can do this if they practice. We don't practice. We don't even understand what he means by overcoming the world. This is the world, okay? The world is all of the collective thoughts and emotions that come to create a kind of a psychic kind of barrier, and that's what we are experiencing. We are feeding off of it. It is not healthy, It has a lot to do with what you and I are pouring in there through hate and fear and anger and all sorts of cute little things that we think are absolutely necessary for the meaning of our life. And that's where it's at. So I don't know what to say to you about that, Ed. I mean, yes, is the world falling apart? Well, it is, yes, and it isn't, and it needs to fall apart. It's going to go through its cycle, like we're going to go through our cycle, and we're not earth-friendly kinds of beings. We kill, we eat animals, we do a lot of things that are unnecessary, but we do it anyway because it pleasures us, and that's the part that hooks us into the collective unconscious. I bet you I didn't satisfy you. At all, but that's my answer, and it's all I know right now, and there's probably more to it, so please forgive me, eh? Namaste. There's so much more to all of this. If you have not read Sapiens, the book Sapiens and Homo Deus, you need to read these books. They're very important. They'll give you an overview of what's going on, written by a person who is a scientist, a meditator, a person of great care, an interest in this world. You need to take a look at it. It's really wonderful. Dean is the next culprit that's up. He says, I have all men today. This is kind of interesting. I can't seem to find our culture any longer. Do we have one anymore? In my life, you could at least depend upon culture to help you or get you through, Dean. Dean, I don't know what you mean by culture. The natural way of anything. What, you know, when I got your email, I just didn't know what you meant when you used the word culture. It seems to me that culture is gone. And our culture is basically corporations. I hate to tell you. I really do. Culture is our how we function as a society in corporate world and how we do things. Culture is basically defined as our behavior, our social practices. It goes into all sorts of things that is transmitted through how we learn, how we create societies. It's a very, very big word. We have culture, all right. It's just corporate culture. No matter where you go, Dean, no matter where you go, you're in a corporation. You go, I'm going to use words, please forgive me. You go to a grocery store, it's a corporation. You go to fast food, corporation. You go to get some tools, corporation. Okay? Go to buy a car, corporation. Buy a home, corporations. Go to get a loan, corporations. Where is the culture? Well, is it in art, music, dance, religion? What is it? No, it's in technology now. It's all about the technology and the money. Those two things. And as far as art and music and creativity are concerned, they're kind of add-ons. They're not considered important. Sports, that's a corporation. You know, colleges are corporations. They depend heavily on football and making money that way, blah, 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 blah. You can get an alumni to drop a few million on a school for the football team, you know. Can't get them to drop a few million to serve humankind beyond all of that. It's all about pride and generating pride, yada, da, yada, da. And it just goes on and on and on. The culture that you are talking about, I believe, is beyond social behavior, the norms of social behavior, our society and all of that. That's why I like Sapiens. This is written by an anthropologist. He's very, very interesting. And he's talking about how all of these myths and cultures have arisen and what we did to them. And we've made the earth less than important. Our real culture comes from the heart. The heart of hearts, not the human heart. The human heart forms corporations. Corporations that serve human body experiences, human need, human entertainment, you know, things like that. But real culture comes from the deep heart of an inner being that lives within us. And it expresses itself in art and music and dance and in all sorts of, well, shall we say, creative ways that show that there's no end to this experience of life itself. Real culture, to me, is the demonstration of life eternal and how this can manifest itself over and over and over again in many beautiful ways. But you don't see that much in human beings anymore. We like what's loud, what's thumping, what gets our attention, whatever gets our attention. And we don't see the basic beauty of it all. We don't see the beauty that goes past the idea of trying to get our attention to sell us something. In our country, in our Western culture, it's all about selling you something all the time. And there's so many mouths to feed and so many people to deal with that come from different backgrounds that are not basically happy backgrounds. They're backgrounds where the mother or the father or both are not happy individuals. They have a lot of problems. They can't feed themselves. They didn't plan on having kids, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. So you say, I can't seem to find our culture any longer. Well, that's because it isn't there. It's changed. It went from art and music and meditation and beautiful things to that of just hard-ass living. Just living hard. Dollar for dollar, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth kind of thing. And it isn't going to change because the more we overpopulate, the more we want more kids and that whole thing, the more difficult all of this is going to get. So, Dean, I don't know what to say to you. I have no happy ending here for you. I really don't. I'm just telling you how I see it since you asked me. To me, everything is about a certain form of spirituality, a certain form of inner awakening. And if I don't awaken, what do I have? What have I achieved? If I don't inwardly awaken to the heart, where will be the creativity, the love? Everybody looks at making a buck now. So in culture, it isn't about making money. In culture, it's about allowing love to have its way in and through my body, my mind. It is about just sending it out there and allowing it to fall into places that are very beautiful. And if you do that, if you live in that kind of culture, you have culture and you don't worry about it because you see you have it. But when you don't have it because you're too busy being rich or wanting to be rich or whatever, there you are. It just goes on and on and on, Dean. So don't be looking for culture. Be looking for the heart of love in you. You have to be the culture. You have to be those things which you want to see happen in this world. You do, just like Gandhi said. So if there's no culture, then it's my fault, your fault, for not paying attention to the things that are most important to pay attention to, the way of the heart. Please forgive me, Dean. Namaste. Notice I am skillfully working around politics. I don't like politics. Last question comes from Jacques. He does not tell me where he lives. Greg, the issue isn't politics. The issue isn't money. Soon it's going to be air. Soon there won't be any air. Do you know what I mean? Am I right, Jack? If I know what you mean, I'm interpreting this as soon in your mind, there won't be any gap or pauses or spaces between each other. We'll be so jam-packed. We'll be so filled with the contention of each other in our lives that soon it just will be impossible for us to recognize what's really going on or what could be happening because there's no air to breathe. I think I understand you. We're going to, in your opinion, cave into or suffocate due to overpopulation and all the other stuff that goes on with an agenda like that of survival. If that is the way you're looking at it, Jack, yeah, I can see what you're saying is true. I can. Human beings don't do anything as far as change or beauty or improvement unless they absolutely have to. And they absolutely have to only if they are, in their minds, forced to do it in a way that touches them. People don't change until the change demands something of them. The change must change them. And by then, it's too late. I sit in hospitals with students and people, and by then, you know, it's a very difficult thing to turn the boat around. It's a very difficult thing. How do you turn that boat around? It's filled with all sorts of leaks in the boat and weights and things we carry that want to sink the boat. And you look at it and you think, how did we get here? It's because we didn't care. It's because there was no love in our hearts. It's because the way we lived was about me, 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 and not love, love, love. So we go on doing what we do the way we do without really thinking about what is happening to us and what our part is in all of this. So what can I say to you? But wow, here's where we are. Here's what we're doing. It is important to mature into consciousness. And there's no such thing as emotional maturity, as everybody will tell you. That's a part of the collective. Oh, you can grow emotionally. No, you can't. No, you can't. And don't let them fool you into thinking that you can grow emotionally. You can't. Try as you will, you can't. Generosity and forgiveness are not emotional things that people can do. They are not emotional activities. They are not set in mental and emotional premises. Those are left for consciousness. And if you do not work upon your consciousness, if you don't work upon your inner self, if you don't awaken to the heart, you'll never know what forgiveness, generosity, ultimate kindness and compassion are, and you'll find that the whole world stinketh. You'll find that you set into motion things that are really, really painful and ugly. And if you want to do that, you want to do that. And that's what most people do. I hate to say it, but that's what most people do. So, gotta tell you, Jack, you're right. Pretty soon there won't be any air. I don't know what we'll do when that moment occurs, when there's just no more room for anything to happen, but what is occurring. I don't know. Anarchy, I don't know. But whatever it is, it's going to be for the best of all of us. Believe me, it will. And though we're going to probably have great challenges before us, if a few of us, people like you, people like me, live in their heart, you will see the way out very quickly. In that chaos, in that misunderstanding, you will see you will see the chaos for what it is, how it works, and you won't be fooled any longer by the manner of appearances. There it is. I'm out of here. Forgive me for that little blurb. Thank you so much, Jack. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful weekend. I hope that you will become a sponsor. Take some time to go take a look at aspire.org. Have a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Thank you for listening. And of course, please forgive me. Namaste.